All right. Good morning, everyone. Well, I have enjoyed the service so far. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Kathy and Jan, for this invitation. And even though Kathy and Jan aren't here, so I'm like, oh, did you guys do this on purpose? Let me. So, I told the ladies from the Good News Club over there that there's an exit door right there. And I said, once I get started, I don't want to see you going out that door over there. So today I'm here to speak with you about children. I want to tell you about an opportunity that we have in Dover and in the state of Delaware also. So I want to tell you about an unreached people group. So this group of people, and I want you to think about like a mission field, right? So if you're a missionary going to an unreached people group, this group of people is neglected often, often forgotten, often pushed to the side, often unprotected, often not taken advantage of, often abandoned, hurt, often misguided, often deceived. And of course, you know, I'm talking about children. But that's the case. Even we know that that's more and more today than it has been for generations. Just a few statistics for you here. In Kent County, we have 35 public elementary schools. And that seems like a large number, doesn't it? Right here in Kent County. We have 15,414 students in those schools. And right now, as of right now, we have 5 Good News Clubs in Dover, which I'll talk about more a little bit later. Of course, one very good News Club sponsored by New Harvest here in Town Point, which I got the opportunity to visit them on Thursday. And church, thank you for being salt and light in this community right here. And it's making a big difference. And I'm really, really proud of the group, and I'll be talking about them later. But I thank you for sowing into children right here in your community. But I just want to tell you about children today. So not going to go into a whole lot of my background, but I used to be a public school teacher for 17 years. So taught primarily middle school, a little bit of elementary. And children are really in a crisis right now. So it's not, when I first started teaching, I taught at a school is kind of like Mayberry. You know, it was great. I mean, the children, and in my whole class, I maybe had one or two children that I really needed to give some extra special attention to. This was not that long ago, like 15 to 17 years ago. And today it's not quite flipped, but it's almost where the children that don't need a lot of extra attention is like, you know, 5, but most of the kids need that extra attention, and it's because of what I just mentioned. They're often neglected, pushed aside, not taken care of like they used to be. So here's a couple, if we want to go to the next slide there. So today, children are, one of the reasons they're in crisis is they're being constantly fed lies. So according to the CDC, the reputable source, thank you. the average child gets 7.5 hours of screen time a day in addition to what they get at school. So this is not academic time. So that's a staggering statistic. When I go shopping for toys, the toys in the aisles have changed, right? They're like the dolls' faces are twisted and evil. And it's not the same. They're not, you know, you just go try to buy a baby doll for your granddaughter. Just walk down the aisle, right? Things are changing. Things have changed. The TV shows have changed, and there's not good morals. You know, they're not watching shows that promote good character, courage, integrity. The heroes for boys and girls are not supposed to be the heroes. You know what I mean? Evil is being promoted, okay? And according to the statistic, according to Ministry to Kids, only 42% of parent-age adults belong to a church. So, and if we take that number, 42%, and that's just the number of families that belong to a church. Of course, to get to a Bible-believing evangelical church, we would have to slice that number again. So it would be a small percentage of children are even going to church. And if they're spending time on a screen, and if all that they're getting through social media and through movies and through entertainment is evil, how are they ever going to hear the gospel? Right? They're going to hear it through a good news club. That's one way. So children are our present mission field right now. You don't have to go to Africa to serve Christ on mission. You can go in your backyard. You can do it right here in this community. And I believe this is our, as a church, this is one of our top priorities. I told my my wife and I talk about this sometimes. It's almost like we have in our hands like the last seeds that of goodness, you know? But here's the good news. The gospel's power. The gospel, that seed of the gospel is power to change. The seed of the gospel is greater than evil. The seed of the gospel will multiply. But we got to take it. We've got to go. We've got to take it. Children need it. I could hardly sing the words to Emmanuel. Because I'm always, being a classroom teacher, I'm always thinking about the kids in my classroom. Let us never lose the wonder of God with us. Jesus Christ coming. God with us. That's the good news. That Almighty God, He saw that we were lost. We were without hope. We were in darkness. We were in sin. And He said, you know what? I love humanity. I love mankind. And so I'm sending my Son, God with us. That, let us never lose that wonder. And, you know, I think about the children who don't know that. There's children, many children, they don't know that Jesus wants to be with us. So, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. I'm sure we all know this. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, sit on your couch and just hope for the best and go hide in a rock. Go hide in a cave because things are hard." Did Jesus say that? No, that's not what He said. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." He told us to go make disciples and to teach them everything that He commanded us. Love your neighbor. Teach them what sin is. Teach them what God says. Teach them what God's given us, right? And that's what the Good News Club is doing. And I've told my, so we have five groups in Dover, and I've telling the groups, we're not, I thought in the origin, when we started, that it was going to be all about evangelizing the children and leading them to Christ. But brothers and sisters, what's happening is children are they're wanting to receive the Lord the very first club. They're like, yes, I want to receive Christ. So the conversation is not now about getting them saved. It's about discipling them. It's about teaching them real truths about who God is, who Jesus is. How do we deal with sin? How do we walk each day? How do we obey our parents? How do we all, like, it's the conversation is changed, which is really, really neat. So anyways, that's the Great Commission. Go make disciples, but teach them about who I am and what I taught you. But here's a wonderful promise. He says, I'm with you always. we can do it now, right? We can, because he's with us always. And because he's with us, Emmanuel, God with us, we can do it. We can go. And you know, in that group of all nations, children are part of that, right? The all nations, all people, that's children. So I want to talk to you today about what the Bible says about children. So I'm going to try to move quickly because I have so little to say and so much time. So I have to, wait a minute, reverse that. So what does the Bible say about children? I got that from Willy Wonka, just some of you know. So in Matthew chapter 18, this is going to be our text today. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn, become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." So we can learn, there's four things I want to pull out from this passage. The very first one is, we want to look at Jesus' attitude towards children. Number one, he took them into his arms. So the parallel passage to this in Luke says, he took a child, he put him in the midst of them, taking him into his arms. So when the disciples ask him this question, he took a child and he brought him into his arms. Maybe he put him on his lap. And he said, and he gave that illustration. So the very first thing we need to know, what the Bible says about children, Jesus wants to take children into his arms. He has love and delight for children. You know, I love seeing grown-ups when they see children. I love seeing them get down. You know, get down their level and talk to them. Look right in their face. Because that's how Jesus is. That's how Jesus feels towards children. He wants them to be physically near to him. And he is meek, mild, humble, and gentle with children. Right? We see that. He took them into his arms. And he held them near. He wants children near. Number two, he says the greatest in the kingdom is humble like a child. Matthew 11:3 says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." In Matthew 11, he says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And in Luke 9, he says, "For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." So what does he mean that he sees this, the humility of a child, and he says, that is what it means to be great? Well, think about children, right? What is that? The opposite of that would be, I earned this. Look at all that my accomplishments. Look at all that I've done. Children don't do that. Children depend. They're dependent on their parents. And they believe. They just have a simple faith. And I think, too, they have a wonder. You know, God wants us as his children to have that childlike humility where we just depend on him for everything. And we trust him like a child. You know, my children never, I've never come home and they'd be like, "Man, Dad, I don't know what we're going to eat today. You know, the bills just aren't adding up." They don't ever say, Dad, how are we going to, like, the utility bill's coming up. How are we going to make that happen?" They have the freedom to not worry about that. They just trust me, right? And we, as God's children, can have the same reliance upon God, the same dependence, that same humility that we just trust. We trust in them. Okay, number three, receiving children in Jesus' name means receiving him. In Matthew 18:5, he says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." So when we, whatever we do to the least of these, he says, "You've done this to me." Remember when Saul got converted? He got knocked off his donkey and the light shone and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting." Well, he was persecuting believers. But Jesus said, "Those believers are me. When you persecute them, that's the same as persecuting me." And he's saying the same thing with children. Jesus takes it personally, what the way that we treat little ones, the way that we treat his children. And the fourth thing is that Jesus is violently angry with those who cause children to stumble. So in 6 through 7, he says, "Whoever causes one of the least of these who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck, be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes." So Jesus is very loving, very kind, very gentle with children. He's very angry with those that cause children to stumble. He's a protector, right? And we should be too. And, you know, stumbling blocks are anything that cause them to sin, to teach them to sin. I could do a whole message on what's going on in our world that people are teaching children to sin. They're causing them to sin. They're purposely setting things in their way to make them sin and to be separated from God. There's a judgment day coming for those people. We know that, right? And I cry out that God would have mercy on those children, but that he would bring those people to judgment. Yeah, he would bring them to repentance, because God does love all. And he even allowed Nebuchadnezzar to repent. You know, he even had mercy on Ahab. Isn't that crazy? But I pray that. But I pray that if they don't repent, that God would he would judge them. He would punish them. Because I think about the children. I care about the children. And sin causes separation from God, right? So to put a stumbling block means to separate, to put a block in between them and God. And Jesus doesn't want that, right? So let's review. According to this passage, we see Jesus' attitude towards children is he took them into his arms. The greatest in the kingdom is humble like a child. Receiving children, he is like receiving him. Whatever we do to the children, it's like doing that to him. And then the last one, he is violently angry with those who cause children to stumble. So I just wanted to point out a little, just a side thing I have. I can't expound on this, but no matter how old or mature we get, we're always the children of God. And so this is the way that God looks at us, that we're his children. And that what does he want to do? He wants to take us in his arms. He wants to be near to us. He gets angry when people cause us to stumble. He protects us, right? Because we're his children. He wants us to be humble and dependent on him, just like if we were little children. So I just think that's a wonderful truth I want to remind you of. Okay. I have a question for you before we go to the next slide. So I like to do a little interaction here. So this question, I want you to think about it. How old does a child have to be saved? So think about that. And then would you answer, tell the person next to you what your answer is. How old does a child have to be saved? Okay, let's compare your answers with some Christian heroes, okay? So if we want to, I think the next slide we can skip. David Livingstone, the amazing missionary to Africa, says, "Our business is to teach children about sin and the Savior, without even a hint about a certain age to accept Christ. The Holy Spirit will, in due time, convict them of sin. When he convicts of sin, whatever the age, who are we to dare interfere with his work? It is at this, of all times, that we show our sympathetic interest. Any child is old enough to accept Christ when he realizes that his sin is against God, and that because of that sin, he is lost without Christ." A child of five, this is Charles Spurgeon, a child of five, this quote is actually what got the Child Evangelism Fellowship founder, Jesse Overholser. He was launched into child evangelism at like around age 60. He had been a pastor for like his whole career, and he was kind of disappointed at his He was looking at his ministry. He had a lack of fruit. And he came across this quote, and this is what propelled him into children's ministry. Okay, this quote. "A child at five, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. My conviction is that our converts from among children are among the best that we have. I should judge them to have been more numerously genuine than any other class, more constant, and in the long run, more solid." Raise your hand if you said five. Anybody? All right. You guys get a gold sticker. Next one. Henrietta Mears, Mrs. Ruth Graham, Corey Ten Boom, and Evangelist Leighton Ford all received Christ at age five. If all the facts were revealed, we would probably be astounded at the number of prominent Christians who were saved as children. Next one. "I believe in child evangelism for three reasons. First, because I was born again when I was only seven. Second, because the history of general evangelism shows that by far the greatest proportion of conversions take place before the age 20. Third, because the Bible makes it plain that youth is the time to turn to God." Ecclesiastes 12:1. Last one. "The only way on God's earth you will solve the problem of reaching the masses is by getting hold of the children." So these Christian heroes have some strong things to say about children, don't they? And of course, I believe them and I agree. So our mission is to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching everyone about all that Jesus commanded. So my question is, do children have the opportunity to know Jesus? Do children encounter the love of Christ and the gospel right here in Delaware? So I want to talk about making disciples in our own family. So the children in your own family, I just want you to think for a moment about your children and maybe your grandchildren, okay? Because, you know, CEF is a missions organization, so I'm going to spend the last part of this message about what CEF does. But first, I just want to give you a little bit about how you can be strategic about your own children and your own family, okay? So obviously, first, pray regularly for them by name. So I graduated from Liberty University, and Dr. Jerry Falwell would speak to us every Wednesday, just about. And I have a lot of love and respect for him. He told us that he had special shower tiles in his shower that were like his grandchildren, and he would pray for them by name, and when he showered. And he would just touch each of the shower tiles as he prayed for them. Maybe you want to take that. I don't know. But pray regularly for them. You know, pray God to get a hold of them at a young age. Pray that they don't have to waste their childhood serving or in the dark, right? So pray that not only they will find Christ, but that they will come to serve him at a young age and be mighty in him. Number two. Prepare, plan, and present them with the Word of God. I had an epiphany one day. We were having home group, and we were having a lot of folks come over. And my wife and kids, they were doing a great job and I was helping too, you know, clean the house and everything. And it occurred to me, it was just like the message was, they're preparing the house, but you need to prepare the Word for them when they come over. I was like, oh, man. So just in the same way that my wife would do a really diligent job thinking through what to feed them, what to prepare them, it was my job as a spiritual leader to prepare the spiritual food for them when they came over. So think of that, grandparents. When your grandchildren are coming over, what if you prepare the Word for them? What if you pick out a passage of Scripture and you say, "Hey, Johnny, I want to show, can I tell you what God's been showing me in the Bible this week?" And you know, when my kids grow up and get married and they all have five children, that's our minimum, because I want a lot of grandchildren. I say, it's five times five. I have five kids. That's 25 grandchildren. So they know I'm just kidding. When they come over, if they have cell phones, guess what? Grandpa Chris is going to have a basket, that those cell phones are going to go in that basket when they come to my house. Because I want their full attention. And I'm going to say, hey, the reason I have this basket is because, I don't know, I know I don't get much time with you, and I want to take advantage of this, and I want your undivided attention. So that's a good one. All right, lead by example. So, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, imitate me as I imitate God. Your grandchildren, your children, they're going to watch you. They're going to do what you do. They're going to follow you. The greatest inheritance you can give them is a spiritual inheritance. That's the greatest thing you can give them. You can give them a life of godliness that's coming from you. That's the greatest thing you can give them, and lead them by example. Shelter them from evil. So there's a lot of ways you can do that. Okay, so that is for your own families. I just felt like I'd be amiss if I didn't talk about that. Okay, so we can skip the next slide. If the children are not taught, then the generations are going to fall away. Like, if you win a child, you win their whole life. It's a better return on investment. Right? Like, I'm 40, so if I get saved, well, I got 80 more years. So, but if you get a child saved, then that's maybe 100, you know? Okay. So, now I want to talk about CEF, what CEF does. Now's the time to reach children. I think that's the next slide. So, let's watch this quick video about what a good news club is.
This is John. He's 21. He's never met Jesus. It's possible he never will. He's already formed his beliefs. His heart is hard. He no longer believes God is good. He's not alone. You can share the gospel with them, and you should, but according to George Barna, what you believe by the time you were 13 is what you will die believing. After the age of 19, someone's probability of accepting Christ drops to just 6%, leaving John on a path to a Christless eternity. How do you change his future? Let's go back in time to when John was a child. He never went to church. His mom doesn't trust them. So let's find his public school and establish a Bible club down the hall. There, someone introduces him to Jesus, who takes his life in a new direction. John's so excited, he tells his friends. One of them comes to Christ. His mother sees the change in his life. When he asks to go to church, she comes too. And she comes to Christ. And it all began in a public school good news club. But where did that club come from? Let's go back in time again. This is Jane's second year with Child Evangelism Fellowship. CEF trained her, created the materials to equip her and her team as they teach, and helps her raise support to work with children full time. Jane is not alone. Her church partners with CEF to host and staff Good News Clubs in two other schools. And around the world, hundreds of thousands of Christians do the same, evangelizing children, discipling them, and establishing them in local churches. As God transforms children's lives in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and around the world, making the appointments and adjustments to bring the right person into the right life at the right time. Some he calls his children, some as adults, but for each he changes the line of their lives forever, threading them into a beautiful tapestry. This is his work. But he invites us to be his agents, to join him in taking the gospel to every child, every nation, every day. Because today is someone's future. And this is how you change the future.
Wasn't that good? So that's a good news club. So that's what's going on right here at Town Point. And we have, at CEF, we have, the main ministries are Good News Club, but we have some other ones. 5-day clubs happen in the summer. And then Christian Youth in Action is a teen ministry that we have. But my contact info is right there, but we'll show it on the website too. But if we could go to the next slide. This year, we've launched 4 brand new Good News Clubs in Dover. So what I do is I get volunteers that are willing, and I bring them together, I train them, and get the schools open and launch clubs. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but that's the simple version. And we've launched four, and because of that, we have about 140 children right now in Dover in Good News Clubs that are hearing the gospel every week. Isn't that awesome? So that's where they are. And can we go to the next slide, please? I want to show you a few pictures. Oh, you're going to see a very special person up there in the top left. You find it's like, where's Waldo? You see that? Hope you don't mind, Robin. No, their club is doing an amazing job. And the word of God going into children will return with a harvest. It will. Their children are much more likely to believe, right? So here's some other clubs. So this group on the top right. This is the group they have in Laurel. These guys right here are praying over a Operation Christmas Child box. That lady Gloria, she's teaching them about missions. So they packed the box and they did some action with missions. We can go to the next slide. And then here's our other clubs right here. I just don't have time to tell you all these stories. So if we could go to the next slide. So here's how you can get involved. So I'll spend a minute on this one. This is what we teach the children in a nutshell, okay? It's the Wordless Book. Raise your hand if you heard of the Wordless Book. Oh, great. Raise your hand if you've never heard of the Wordless Book. Okay. This is a super simple way to share the gospel with not just children, but anybody. So you use these colors. So the left is gold. It represents God. God is our creator. He loves us. He's holy. He lives in heaven. And you just talk about that. You bring up scriptures. The dark page is a dark heart. We're born in sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. You explain what sin is, everything you think, do, say that's wrong. And you people know there's something wrong on the inside. But God's solution is the cross of Christ, that he came. He's the only person that could take the punishment for our sin. And he died on the cross to take our punishment, and he rose again. That's the tomb. And because of that, we can have a clean heart. It's the next page. We can have a clean heart. All our sins are washed away. 1 John 1:9. And then we teach them, after they become saved, we teach them that the rest of your life is to grow. It's green. You go to church, read your Bible, obey, you witness. And so that's a great tool to teach children, but it's also a great tool to teach. You can witness that way. You can evangelize with adults. So here's the three ways that we need help, because we do need help. God is answering our prayers in Dover. He's really doing a marvelous work. I pray these specific things. God, would you send the laborers, and would you send all the support that we need? Would you give us favor in administrators and open this right school doors? God is doing all those things in a mighty way. It's really, really neat. But there's three ways you can get involved. If you want to be a prayer partner, you can sign up through our website or have like a sign-up sheet. You could just sign up, give me your email, and I'll send you like regular, I don't know, bi-weekly emails about what we're doing, what you can pray for. It's kind of like good news updates. If you want to become a financial supporter, we need support. There's an address there, or we also, on the website, there's that information's on there too. If you want to volunteer, we need lots of different roles. You basically just need to love children. We'll train you to do the rest. But we will be launching new clubs. So if you're interested in being a part of another club or joining, that's what we do as well. And then if you just go to the last slide there, the last thing I would ask you to do is please help by sharing what we're doing with the right person, okay? We're kind of rebuilding from ground zero. And it's not ground zero. There have been a lot of faithful people in the past, but through COVID, CEF just kind of dropped. So maybe you know a principal. Maybe you know a Christian business leader. Maybe you know a teacher that needs a club in her school. So I just ask you that our website is the best way to point people. If you ever need to contact me, just click that contact button and you could just find everything on our website, basically, any way to respond, okay? Thank you for supporting this group at Town Point. When I went in there, I was very, very impressed. They are they're doing a wonderful job. Those kids feel the love of God. Those kids are learning about Jesus, and it's really neat. And I told them, you don't know that you're not you don't know who you have in your group right here. You might have the next great pastors, missionaries, civic leaders, and that's what we need to envision, right? So I thank you again for having me, and I just want to close out in prayer here. God, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this church, and I ask you, God, to bless New Harvest Baptist Church. I pray that you would just continue to provide for them and help them to support these this Good News Club and children in the community. And I just thank you for what you're doing through that group. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing for children all throughout Dover. And I just ask you to continue to spread your gospel through this city and through this state. Bring all the workers and all the support that we need. And I thank you for your wonderful goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.